Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashtasmi tatvataha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna, he explains, Bhaktya tvananiyashakya aham evam vidorjuna jnatam drastam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parantata. It is only by undivided devotion that I reveal myself as I am. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, is beyond the perception of our human senses or mind. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Narayan, is beyond the realm of relativity. Therefore, by any mechanical process of yoga, he is not attainable. He is only perceived when by his own divine sweet will he reveals himself to his devotee. So here we are tonight for the last 1 hour or so. We have been chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the age of Kali Yuga, this process of Nam Sankirtan is especially recommended. Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upadrita. Bhagavatam explains, in the age of Kali, men are very spiritually lazy. They have very short memories, very short lives. They are very much easily influenced by materialistic attachments and sinful activities. Therefore, it is said in Bhagavatam, Kalera dosa nide rajan asti heka mahan guna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet. Although this age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, how we can see the ocean of faults all around us? There is one benediction that anyone, simply by taking the name of Lord Hari, he can attain the supreme perfection of life. But how do we take the name of Lord Hari? That is what is essential to understand. Sometimes we have our mala and we have a fixed number of names that we chant every day. It may be 1 lakh or 2 lakhs or 3 lakh or 1/4 lakh or 1/2 lakh. Our Guru Maharaj is giving us a particular regiment of how many names we should chant per day. But do you think that Krishna will be attracted by a number? We are tonight chanting, dancing. Do you think he is attracted by the sound that is coming out of our voice? God is only attracted by one thing, bhakti. Bhakti means love, devotion. Devotion is manifested or expressed through sacrifice. And sacrifice is offered to the Lord through seva, through service. unless we have the proper service attitude, our chanting has no meaning to God. Just like you can have a gun. Today so many people have guns. Huh? And do you know what is blanks? Blanks means a certain type of gunpowder that doesn't have a bullet at the end. It just makes the noise. And it sounds like a gun. But nothing comes out. Chanting the holy name of the Lord without proper service attitude is like the sound of a blank gun. It sounds just like the name of God, but it isn't really the name of God. The name of God attracts the Lord only when it is chanted with a heart of humility. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a particular verse which he considered most essential. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That to chant the name of the Lord properly, one must be more humble than a blade of grass. One must be more tolerant than a tree. One must be ready to offer all respect to others and expect no respect for oneself. Only when you have this consciousness can you chant the name of the Lord constantly. At this time, the name of the Lord will not only be coming out of your mouth, but it will be constantly vibrating from the core of your heart. This is what is required. Spirituality is not a mechanical process. It is not a process of ritual. It is a process of offering our love. When we come before the Archavigraha, the worshipable deity of the Lord, he so kindly appears in this most beautiful and lovable form just to reciprocate with his devotee. We may cook many, many wonderful palatable dishes, but if they are not prepared and offered with bhakti, with love, even if we spend crores of rupees, it means nothing to God. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna says, but if you even offer me a little water or a little fruit or a flower, if it is offered with love, with bhakti, not only will he accept, but he will find great pleasure. Today, the young generation all over the world is very much turning against religion because of the rise in science, the rise in technology. They feel, what is the need for religion? They see their parents and they think that they are performing these rituals, and when they ask what the ritual means, generally, do not ask these questions. Your grandfather did it, your great-grandfather did it, your great-great-grandfather did it, your great-great-great-great-grandfather did it. Therefore, I must do it and you must do it. The scientific mind of the 20th century will no longer accept this reasoning. There must be a philosophical explanation, a conviction. And that philosophical conviction must bring about an expression of devotion. Otherwise, whatever mantras we are chanting, whatever rituals we are performing, are like the sounds of blank bullets. They have no substance. They have no flavor. There's no rasa. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the basic ingredient of all of our spiritual endeavors is that it must be performed humility. There is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, which very nicely illustrates this very important principle. Recently we were in Vrindavan, and we went to the very place where this pastime occurred. It is called Yajnasthan. Have you been? It's just close to Akrura Ghat. And this is the place where one day Lord Sri Krishna, when he was performing his Pauganda Lila, he was herding the cows with his friends, the Shakas and the Gopas. Every day they would have a very, very joyful time. They would dance, frolicking through the fields of Braja, playing upon their flutes, blowing their buffalo horns. It is explained that Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, was given the care of 900,000 cows. Last night I asked a question. It is said, somebody asked me about the Julan Yatra, where Krishna and Radha Rani, they swing together. Now Lord Sri Krishna and Srimati Radha Rani, they perform this Julan Yatra Lila when they are in their Kaishor age. This means the age between 11 and 15. But Krishna left Vrindavan when he was between 10 and 11. Now it is sometimes said he left Vrindavan when he was 16. But actually, if you technically study his lila, you will find that when he was between the ages 10 and 11, he left with Akrura in order to fight with Kamsa. And yet, the most intimate pastimes he had with Sri Radharani and the gopis was during his Kaishor lila, which is when he is a youth at 15 years old. So how is this possible? It is explained by the great acharyas that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. Of those 900,000 cows, the 1,000 best cows he would milk. And he would give all that milk to the 100 best cows. Then he would take the milk from the 100 best cows and give it to the 10 best cows. Then he would take the milk from the 10 best cows and give it to the 5 best cows. And then he would take the milk from the 5 best cows and give it to the best of all cows. And from that best of all cows, he would take the milk, make yogurt, make butter, and that is what would be fed to Krishna every day. Now what would happen is, because he was fed with the best milk and the best yogurt and the best butter and the best ghee every day, he became very stout and strong. So when he was 10 years old, he had a body like he was 15 years old. So actually, he was Kishore when he was still in his Pokanda Leela. So one day when they were herding the beautiful 900,000 cows, Lord Sri Krishna, Gopal, and Balaram were feeling very hungry. So they told their friends that there are some Brahmins. They are close by. They are performing a very, very big sacrifice. They are very first-class Brahmins. They know the mantras so expertly. They know all the scriptures. And they can speak with such eloquence. In fact, they are the gurus for all around. Everyone touches their feet and puts the dust on their head. And just at this time when they're performing their sacrifice, it is auspicious for them to give in charity. So you should go and you should tell them that Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. Give us some prasad. So the cowherd boys, they went to the place where the Brahmins were performing their sacrifice. Balaramji and Krishna, they are in the pasture grounds. They are very hungry. They are requesting some prasad. We know it is auspicious now. You give it. The Brahmins, they were thinking that we are performing a very, very important sacrifice. We are in the middle of chanting very, very special mantras. And these low-class, dirty little children who take care of cows, why are they bothering us? So they completely ignored them. They said nothing. They did nothing. And the children became very discouraged. So with very, very sad hearts, they went back to Krishna. Said, Shyam Sundar, they would not give us anything. We feel very bad. Krishna explained to him, you cannot be attached to the fruits of your action. When you are performing service, you just perform your service for the sake of the service. Do not be attached to what is the results. Karman yevadikarashte mapaleshuta kashtana makarmapalahe turbur mate sangostu karmani. You have a right to perform your duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. Are we ever really the cause of the results of our activities? Krishna told Arjuna, you fight for the sake of fighting. Understand that everything is the property of God. Nothing is ours. Whatever we do have or whatever we do not have, that is not our concern. Our concern is that our life is an offering to God. So then Krishna told the gopas that the wives of these Brahmins, they are not like their husbands. Their husbands are the greatest scholars. Their wives, I doubt if they even know how to write or read. Their husbands are famous throughout the land as being great lecturers, performing sacrifices and chanting mantras perfectly and expertly. The wives, all they know is how to clean the house and cook. Nobody's ever heard of them. Nobody knows of them. But there is one difference. The husbands are proud. Therefore, whatever they do has no spiritual meaning. But the wives are humble and devoted. Go to them and ask for some food. So the gopas went to the homes of the Brahmins' wives. That Krishna and Balaramji, they are very hungry, they are requesting some food. Immediately the Brahmins' wives became very happy. Ah, such a benediction, such a good fortune that Krishna, Balaram are giving us the chance to offer them something. They ran throughout the house, choosing the best of all foods, putting it in the nicest baskets. Please, my dear boys, let us kindly bring it personally to Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, their husbands were saying, ah, what is this nonsense? You have to help us with our sacrifice. You are required. Their fathers-in-laws, their mothers-in-laws, their husbands, they forbid them to go. But the Brahmins' wives, they took the food in little baskets and they went into the forests of Vrindavan. And there, when they came before the beautiful form of Shamsundar, who was standing in his threefold bending form, his head bedecked with the peacock feather, his eyes beautiful like the blooming lotus, his lips splendidly red like the bimba fruit. He was playing upon his flute, and he was standing beside one of his friends. When they saw this beautiful darshan, immediately their hearts began to overflow with prema bhakti, pure love of God. At that time, the supreme realization of the absolute truth was bestowed upon them. And they offered their food to Krishna with humility and devotion. When their husbands found out about this, they became very ashamed. They were thinking, here we are, such learned scholars. Here we are, such famous gurus. But the whole purpose of everything we're doing is to satisfy God, satisfy Govinda. And when the opportunity came, we were too proud. Therefore, the hell with our mantras, the hell with our rituals, the hell with all of our Vedic learning, the hell with our lives. We've spoiled everything. But our simple wives, they have perfected their lives. This is a fact. There was once a king of the name Prataparudra. He was the king of Orissa. He had vast armies. He had tremendous, tremendous wealth, beautiful family. At that time, Lord Sri Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. And the king wanted to have the darshan with Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya said, I do not see kings, because kings are by nature very materialistic and proud. So when Maharaj Prataparudra heard this, he was thinking, then what is the use of my being a king? I should become a beggar. If being a beggar is what it takes to please the Lord, what else is this human life meant for? So his associates, knowing he was such a pious and such a religious man, they said, no, do not become a beggar. Just be patient. We think the Lord will show you his kindness. Soon after that, the great festival of Ratha Yatra. You know Ratha Yatra. It was taking place. And King Prataparudra, when he heard that Jagannath had boarded the cart, the rat, he took off his kingly robe because he understood, who am I to be dressed like a king in front of the supreme king? He is Jagatpate. He is the king of all the universe. Who am I? Actually, I was recently talking with one of the acharyas from Udupi, the Krishna temple. His name, Palimar Swami. And they just offered the deity of Krishna a crown that cost 1 crore of rupees. And people were criticizing, why you spend 1 crore of rupees for Krishna? Why don't you use the money for something else? He explained that the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of India, the Prime Minister of England or Russia, how much does their country spend on them a year? Considering their travel arrangements, they have their own special private jets. Huh? Considering all the high security guards that are all around them, all the technological information that protects them. They spend millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And just a king of one little tiny tract of land on one little tiny planet in one little tiny universe. Huh? There's infinite, innumerable universes. And Krishna, he is the king of everything, everywhere. So if you could spend so many crores on one little insect-like king of one little insect-like tract of land, why can we not spend a crore of rupees on Jagatpate, the king of everything? Huh? So Maharaj Parikshit, he was in this, Maharaj Prataparudra, he was in this consciousness that Jagannath, he is the king of the universe. Jagannath. I am only Orissa Nath, but he is Jagannath. Therefore, before the Lord, he took off his royal dress and he took off his royal crown and he put on the robe of a street sweeper. And he took a broom, and with a genuine and humble heart, he began to sweep the road. To show the whole kingdom that before God, I am a bhangi. I am a street sweeper. I am only the most humble servant, the most insignificant servant. And when the Lord saw the humility of the king, it was then that he decided to bestow his complete mercy upon the king. It is the quality of our heart that is the offering that is accepted by God. It is not what we offer, but it is how it is offered. There is a beautiful story in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya. There was a man, he was suffering from very, very, very severe leprosy. His leprosy was so bad that his entire body was just dripping with horrible pus due to infections. And there was millions and millions and millions of worms eating away at his flesh. Now, when this man, whose name was Vasudev, would see one worm fall to the ground, he would very carefully pick it up and put it back. He would think that this is not my body. This body belongs as much to the worms as it belongs to me. I'm living in this body, the worms are living in this body. This was his humility. So one day Lord Chaitanya came to the place that he was staying. It was called Kurmakshetra in South India. What happened is, Vasudev came just after Lord Chaitanya had left. So Vasudev was thinking, oh my God, I have missed the opportunity of my life to have the association of such a great saint. So Lord Chaitanya, knowing this, he came back to that place. And when he saw Vasudev, he embraced him. And when he embraced him, all the leprosy disappeared. And his body became beautiful, like a body of a devata. And then Vasudev, you would think he would be very happy, would you not? After such leprosy, in such pain, you would think he would be going, oh, so nice, now I can enjoy. He became very sad, and he became very frightened. And he approached the Lord, and he said, my Lord, you know, because you have shown me such a special degree of mercy, I will become famous everywhere as Vasudev Amrita Prad, one who has received the special nectar of Lord. And the tendency is, when you receive something great, you become proud. And I know, my Lord, if one drop of pride enters into my heart, then whatever I do for you will have no pleasure for you. And my life is meant for your pleasure. When I was in a wretched, sickly condition, suffering as a leper, I had nothing to be proud of. The world condemned me. Nobody wanted to look at me, touch me, or go near me. Therefore, whatever I did for you was with a humble heart. Therefore, I was quite happy. But now, I have a beautiful, strong, golden body, and I've become very famous. Now my service will have no meaning to you. What is the use of my living? And the Lord explained to him that you always chant the name of God. How to chant the name of God? Feeling yourself more humble than the grass. People step on the grass. Dogs do whatever they do on the grass. Be more tolerant than a tree. What is the nature of a tree? A tree is so tolerant that in the summer, the tree is standing in the blazing heat. Does it complain? No. It gives shade to you. In the winter, the tree is freezing, standing. Does it complain? No. It gives wood for you to keep warm. And even if you chop the tree down to kill it, does the tree complain? No. Gives its body for you to build a house. To protect your body. one should become more tolerant and true. Ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. This is the goal of life, to have this consciousness. Only then will we be truly satisfied. And how to do so? It is very simple. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. You become what you associate with. Spiritual advancement and material degradation is exclusively dependent on what and who you associate with. If you associate with those persons who are sincerely aspiring for these qualities, or those persons who have, by the grace of God, attained these qualities, then gradually you will also naturally acquire those qualities. But if you associate with those persons who are very much attached to the temporary flickering pleasures of this world, then your intelligence will be lost. And you will become more and more and more attached to the flickering pleasures of this world. This body must grow old, it must get diseased, and it must die. Vasamsijanani yatha vihaya navani granate naroparani tathasari rani vihaya jinani anyati samyani navani dehi. This body is only a set of clothes for the Atma, the soul. And yet we live for the body. We neglect the needs of the soul. We may call ourselves very pious, very religious, but how much are we actually living moment after moment for the soul and how much for the body? Recently, one person that we are acquainted with had left his body. He died. The soul passed on to its next destination. So the family members were crying like anything. One sadhu came to visit. They asked the sadhu, please give us some enlightening words. In this time of great, great lamentation in our life, give us some comfort. He told them, how much you are lamenting over this dead body. The soul never dies. It is only the body that is dead. The inevitable has taken place. But let me tell you this. To forget Krishna, to forget the Lord, for one moment, is more tragic than 800 deaths. And you are lamenting so much over one death, but moment after moment you forget Krishna and you do not even care. It is a fact. What is the quality of our life? A materialistic person would just try to enjoy as much as he possibly could those last 7 days, right? He would just go on a big, big vacation like anything. and try to squeeze as much sense enjoyment as you possibly could out of life. In fact, there was a television show in America about this. It was a very famous show when I was a young child. It was called Run for Your Life. And what happened is, it was about this very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy lawyer. And he got cancer. And the doctor told him that you have 1 year to live. So he was thinking, what will I do with the next year? I will enjoy such incredible amounts of pleasure during this last year of my life. So every show, it was once a week for 1 hour, it showed how he would enjoy his last days. 1 week, he would be in Switzerland climbing mountains with a beautiful young lady. The next week, he would be in the Caribbean skin diving in the ocean with a beautiful young lady. A different one, of course, every week. The next week, he was in the Orient, walking through the roads with a beautiful young lady. The next week, he was jumping with parachutes from the sky off airplanes with a beautiful young lady. In this way, he was just enjoying like anything. And people were thinking, my God, this man is so great. If only I could spend my last year like this. Huh. It was such a popular show because everybody in the American society was thinking that the goal of life is vishai, sense enjoyment. And this man really knows how to live it up. This man, I want to become like him. Therefore, it became the number one show in America. It became such a very popular show that at the end of the year, the sponsors were making so much money that they had to extend his life one more year just for the show could continue. Huh? But Maharaj Parikshit was not like this. He had 7 days, and what did he do with those 7 days? He took off his royal crown. He took off his royal dress. He left his affectionate family members. He left his palatial palace. He went to the bank of the Ganges to seek out the association of saintly persons. And he vowed, I will not eat, I will not sleep, I will simply hear the words of the sadhus for the next 7 days, and I will keep my mind fixed on the sound vibration of Krishna. He approached Srila Shukadev Goswami. Such a contrast. Here is the king of the planet Earth. Such dignity, such aristocracy, such sophistication he had. And Shukadev Goswami was 16 years old, roaming through the jungles without any clothes. Huh? But yet the king put his head at the feet of Shukadev Goswami because he understood that Shukadev Goswami has the ultimate wealth. He has the treasure of bhakti, the treasure of love of God within his heart. And unless we attain that before we die, our human life is wasted. Maharaj Parikshit understood that association is everything within one's life. He asked Shukadev Goswami 3 questions. What is the supreme occupation for all humanity? What is the essence of all religions? And most important, what is the duty of a man about to die? The fact is, every one of us is a man or a woman about to die. Death could come today, death could come tomorrow. We do not know. There is no guarantee. Maharaj Pariksit was guaranteed 7 days. Can any of you tell me that you are guaranteed 7 days? You do not. Guaranteed 7 days. You do not even have a guarantee of 7 minutes. And yet, how much we have the tendency to waste our time in futile pursuits. Shukadev Goswami explained to Maharaj Pariksit that to always hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, that is the perfection of life. That is the duty of a man about to die. That is the supreme occupation for all humanity, and that is the essence of all religions. Krishna says in the Gita, Yam yam vapis maran bhavam tijat chanto kalevaram tam tam evaiti kontaya sadata bhava bhavata. That whatever you remember at the time of death, that you will attain without fail. One who remembers me at the time of death will attain me. Death is the final exam of life. Do not think that you will pass the exam unless you prepare throughout your life. Some people think, well, at the time of death, then I will think of Krishna, but now let me enjoy. That is like a student going to college and saying, why should I study? I will enjoy. And when I take the exam, then I will pass. Is that possible? To the degree you put your time and energy into studying, preparing for that exam, to that degree you will get good grade. So our life is meant to prepare for the final exam, which could come tomorrow. And how do we prepare? How does a student prepare for his exam in college? It's very practical. Spiritual life is most practical. You prepare for the exam by going to class, by hearing from the professor with an open heart. And then you do what he says. Similarly, we prepare for the final exam of life by associating with saintly persons, by hearing from them, and by following their instructions. And what is their instruction? To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And how do we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna? By worshiping the deity. By putting the Lord in the center of our house. Just like this household, the Mr. Datani, he is setting a very wonderful example for everyone. It is not that one has to become a sannyasi. Grihe tako vane tako sada hari pole tako suke duke bulona ko varne hari nam korore. Whether you are a grihasta or a sannyasi, if you put God in the center of your life, you will be free from all the happiness and distress of this world and attain the divine position. So here we see that Krishna is in the center. This is not our house, this is Gopal's house. We cook for Gopal. We live for Gopal. we work, we perform our occupation in the service of Gopal. This is human life. The animals work because they want to eat, they want to sleep, they want to mate, they want to defend, right? The animals work for their own selfish pleasure. The difference between human life and animal life is when a human being, he may have an occupation, when he works in the loving service of God. Otherwise, we're simply big, big animals. So when we worship the deity, when we offer everything we have to the deity, through this process, we always remember Krishna. We never forget Krishna. When we associate with sadhus, when we come together to hear the glories of the Lord, to hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to hear it explained with an open heart, we always remember Krishna. We never forget Krishna. God is non-different than His name. When we chant the name of the Lord, whether we are chanting Sri Krishna Sharanamam, or whether we are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. By chanting the name of the Lord and surrendering our mind and our senses to the name of God, we are always remembering God. In this way, 24 hours a day, we can be conscious of Krishna. This is how we prepare for the final exam. And then when the exam comes, naturally, we have been taking shelter of God throughout our life. We have been offering everything throughout our life. At that time, death is not a tragic condition. Death is simply the opening of the doors to the spiritual world, Vrindavan. Huh? It is a blessed event. But for one who is not remembering Krishna, death is the most horrifying, terrible, and painful experience. It is the time when everything near and dear to us is forcibly stripped away. And we do not know where we are going. That is our choice. So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit has set the most perfect example. Despite being the king of the whole planet Earth, he humbled himself at the feet of God. He humbled himself at the feet of the Lord's devotees. So it does not matter who we are, whether we are educated or uneducated, whether we are man or woman, whether we are rich or poor. If we simply develop, if we simply strive to develop the attitude of humble service to the Lord and the Lord's devotees, then there will be no impediment in our spiritual progress. The Brahmins' wives had only one qualification. The Brahmins had so many qualifications. They were like so many zeros. Huh? All of your material qualifications are like so many zeros. People in this society are very anxious to collect as many zeros as they can. Huh? If you have a million zeros, PhD zero, MA zero, 20 crores, rupees zeros, huh? Fame and distinctions, so many zeros. If you add up 1,000 zeros times 1,000,000 zeros, what is the end result? Huh? Zero. At the time of death, all you have is zero, nothing. But what if you put one in front of those zeros? Then whatever follows only increases the value. That one is Krishna. And Krishna is only understood through humility and devotion. There's no other way. That is the word of God. There is no other way. So whoever we are, whatever we are, let us understand what we should really strive for in our life. We should strive to associate with those persons and associate with those things that can awaken humble devotion within our heart. Is there any questions? Yes. That means you haven't ever really heard it. Huh? Hearing means acting. We have to hear it again and again and again and again until we actually hear it. Huh? Sometimes we hear the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and we think we know it. But then by God's grace, we're put in a tragic situation. And then we realize that we don't know it. Then we begin to understand what it really meant. Huh? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastvata darshana. One must approach Guru and inquire submissively and render service. You see, we hear, but we have to hear submissively. If you think you know, you cannot hear. That is the greatest tragedy. When we think, I'm very intelligent, I know. So I've already heard this lecture so many times, why should I listen again? That means you know nothing except your own ego. Huh? I remember our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he would have his own disciples speak. He was a Paramhamsa. His own disciples, they were only devotees for a few weeks. And they would just speak whatever little they knew. Bhagavad Gita says that you're not this body, you're like this. And our Guru Maharaj would be attentively listening. Huh? With great relish. If you think you know, you cannot hear. Therefore, the beginning of spiritual life is to accept, I do not know, and open your heart to hear. But the realization comes through service, through seva. Hearing only gives you a theoretical understanding. But the realization comes through applying what you hear, through seva, through service. Huh? nervous attitude that is awakened when we hear. But with that service attitude, we have to engage in devotional service. We have to act accordingly. Then the realization comes. It's like you are a doctor. If you tell the patient exactly what medicine to take, and he knows theoretically exactly what to take, will it do him any good? He has to take it. Huh? So similarly, we come to the Pravachan, we hear about the goal of life, we hear how we should be associating with saintly persons, we hear how we should drop our false ego, become humble servant of God, we hear the necessity of chanting the name of God with feeling and devotion, we hear how to worship the deity with faith and devotion. Huh? We hear how to avoid worldly people. That is the prescription. But are you willing to take the prescription? Are you willing to practice what you hear? Until you do, you will gain no realization. You can hear it year after year after year after year after year after year after year. But if you don't practice what you hear, if you don't take it, there'll be no realization. So if there's a lack of realization, that means there's a lack of practice. Huh? You must apply these principles to your life. Is there any other questions? Yes. Huh? No one can take advantage of humility. Real humility, you must understand. Arjuna fought the battle of Kurukshetra with complete humility. Did anyone take advantage of him? Huh? Humility doesn't mean just letting people step all over you. Humility means understanding the principle that Krishna is the doer. I am only an instrument in his hands. Therefore, I deserve no credit for anything I do. All credit belongs to God. Huh? That if someone attacks me, if someone blasphemes me, I accept it. I welcome it. Because it helps me to become more humble. Huh? But that humility means that you perform your duty without thinking that you are the enjoyer. You are not the enjoyer of the results. It is all meant for God. Arjuna fought in a state of mind that he was thinking himself more humble than a blade of grass. And yet he was killing his opponents. Why? Because that was his service to the Lord. Huh? Why should you care if someone takes advantage of you? Who are you? The question is, you cannot allow someone to interfere with your service to God. We don't care if people take advantage of us. Let them take advantage of us. But they cannot take advantage of God. We cannot permit that. Right? If this is God's property, we cannot allow someone to take advantage of God's property. But ourselves, we are not interested in protecting ourselves. We are interested in protecting what belongs to Krishna. If this is Krishna's body, we are not protecting this because it's mine. We are protecting this because it is the property of God. My humility is to defend it on behalf of God. Huh? So don't care if someone criticizes you, if someone takes advantage of you. Welcome it. There's no harm. It can only help you. Huh? But your service to the Lord, you must defend with your life. Huh? That is also an expression of your humility. By associating with persons who have that attitude of sacrifice, by hearing from them and rendering service to them. Huh? The formula is simple. We have to take the formula.
We have so many concepts of our life. It's very difficult to sacrifice them.
Prani prashnena sevaya. We must hear submissively from humble devotees of the Lord, and we must render service to them. Through that simple process, all good qualities awaken from within our hearts. Any other questions? So I think we will end here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.